Okay, so today's daf is daf Kuf Gimel. So the bottom of Kuf Beis and Mem Beis, three lines up, Tanya Kuf Asa D'Rabba. So the Gemara is going to bring a brisa to support the opinion of Rabba. Rabba just told us yesterday's daf that there's a difference between a Anpilya Shel Or and Anpilya Shel Beged. An Anpilya, which is made of some type of leather, and Anpilya of cloth. So what's the brisa? So Chalta B'Minal HaNifram Shechupa Es Rov HaRegel. So if he uses a shoe, Nifram is a Lashon, Rashi explains, Lashon Lo Sifromo, in the Pasuk about they came to another of you when they got killed. So it says not to rip the clothing. V'shach Prima Rashi says, B'minal U'pchisa V'kibol Shach B'sandal. So Prima, I think, is a Lashon of cutting. Is that what they explain here? Or ripping? Yeah. Right? So it's a Lashon of, it's a torn. If she performed Chalitza with a torn sandal, Shemekabla Rov HaRegel, it could, sorry, I skipped the line. Chalitza b'minal ha-nifram, shechofa es rov ha-regel. Or if it's b'sandal ha-nifchas, shemekabla es rov ha-regel. Or b'sandal shel sham, v'shel siv. So what are these types of materials here? If it's a, contained rush or of best. Not familiar with these types of materials. B'kav ha-kitea, or the wooden foot of an amputee. Or b'muk, which is felt. B'smichas ha-raglayim, which is a foot of support. Maybe some type of crutch, perhaps. Let's see, they explain what exactly.
When you don't have a leg, and you're putting the...
No, but that's what the first case was. I thought kava kiteya was the wooden foot of an amputee. This is an additional support to that, it seems. There's some type of shoe, I guess. Yeah. And then banpilya shel or, this leather sock. V'chaletes min ha-gadol, one performs chalitza from removing it from a gadol. All these cases continuing onto Kuf Gimel and Aleph. Bein omed ben yoshe ben muta, whether he's standing, sitting, or just leaning. Vacholetes min asuma, or do chalitza on a man who is a suma. All those cases we just mentioned was chalitzasa kshera. And on the list was a anpilya of or, a leather sock was good. Aval, in contrast to that, says the Raisa, b'minal hanifram she'en chofas rov ha-regel. If it's ripped, where it does not cover the remainder, does not cover the rest of the regel. Or b'sandal hanifchas she'en makabalas rov ha-regel. Or sandal that tore does not cover most of the regel. Or b'smichas hayadayim, something on the hand, I guess he'd walk on his hand or something. V'abpilya shel beged, or a sock made of cloth. V'choletis min ha-katan, or the man's ha-katan, chalitzas ha-psula, all those cases are chalitzas ha-psula. So for us, the case is, we're interested in the first half of the brisa, which said Anpilya Shel Or, is a good chalitza, and the second half quoted Anpilya Shel Beged, which is not a good chalitza, that supports the Pinu Rava, who made such a distinction. Gemara wants to know now, who authored this brisa we just brought? Kava Kiteya Mani. Who's the one who allows a chalitza to be performed on a wooden amputee's leg? So Mani, who holds that way? Rei Meiri, the Tanan, the Mishnah tells us in Masechah Shabbos, that HaKiteya Yotze B'Kav Shelo Divi Reb Meir. A person who an amputee who has a prosthetic leg made of wood or any other material for that matter is allowed to walk outside on Shabbos. It's not viewed as carrying something. It's in fact viewed as an extension of his body. Rabbi Yossi said it's forbidden to do that because it's considered carrying. So Rabbi Meir, who views it as an extension by Hilchos Shabbos and you can walk outside, is also the opinion who thinks it's an extension of the leg with respect to the halachas of chalitza. So Rabbi Meir is the author of the brisa. But then the Gemara says, what about that Anpilya Shel Beged? Who's the one who permitted a sack of leather to be used for an effective chalitza? Asin the Rabbanan. That's the Rabbanan from yesterday's daf. So we have a steer. Who authored the brisa? The Anpilya Shel Or, the leather sock, that goes according to the opinion of Rabbanan. But the kav, the kitei yotze b'kav shelo, that goes according to Rabbi Meir. So Amar Abai says, mi desefa Rabbanan reishanami Rabbanan. From the fact that we learn the seifa must be the Rabbanan, so it has to be that the reisha is also Rabbanan. The reisha b'mechupa or. Let's see. Rashi explains, this is the first narrow line down in Rashi. Mi desefa Rabbanan, from the fact that the end is Rabbanan, reisha d'kava kitei nami Rabbanan, we have to explain also the first opinion is the Rabbanan as well, where the prosthetic leg is viewed as an extension and a part of the foot. V'daika v'analcha tachash, the pasuk we brought yesterday, v'tekasani kav hakiteya kasher b'mechupa or. So it has to be a case of where the extension of this wooden extension of the leg, it has a leather end to it, I guess, where it covers most of the foot. That has to be, it's not just a wood leg, it's a wood leg with a leather extension. That's how it seems. Is that what they're explaining here?
Yeah,
Yeah, that's exactly what they're explaining here. Okay. So Rabban is really the author of our Braisa we just wrote. So Amalei Rava says, Aval ein mechu ba'or, my puzzle. If this wooden extension and the leather on top of that at the end does not cover most of the, if it's not covered in leather, then it would not be a good leg to do chalitza. So Ihachi, if that's the case, if there's a distinction depending on whether the wood has leather or not covering it, so the Gemara should have, the Braisa should have distinguished. It's Ihachi, Adatani Seifa Ampilio Shobeged. So the Seifa already distinguishes. The Gemara has this klal. Whenever Braisa wants to distinguish between two different cases, and there's another way to distinguish, then it should have made both distinctions. Sometimes the Braisa likes to present everything very clear cut. Sometimes the Braisa distinguishes. So since our Braisa was already in the game of distinguishing between two different things, namely Ampilio Shel Or versus Ampilio Shel Beged, it should have made another distinction, namely that Liflog Bedida Bid Medramurm Bid Mechupa Or Aval Eim Mechupa Or Pasul. They should have made another distinction, that when is it true that a Kav Kiteya is a good leg for Chalitza, but only when it's covered in leather. But when it's not covered in leather, it's not good. From the fact that the Braisa never made such a distinction, it's hard for us to accept that this is really the true opinion of Rabbanan, that's Dafka Kava Kiteya, that's covered in or. So again, back to square one, who authored our Mishnah? On one hand, we have Rabbi Meir seems to be the author by Kav Kiteya, but on the other hand, the distinction of the socks seems to go according to Rabbanan. So El Amar Rava says, Bindereisha Rabbi Meir, the fact that the beginning is Rabbi Meir with respect to Kav Kiteya, Seifa Nami Rabbi Meir, the Seifa must be Rabbi Meir as well by the distinction of socks. Well, hi magin, hi lo magin. So how do we explain this to be the opinion of Rabbi Meir? So look at Rashi. Rashi says, Seifa nami Rabbi Meir, velo daik tachash afilo hachisha beged lo, mishim de lo magin, aval kava kitea magin hilkach afilo ein chupa or kasher. So don't make a dik. Remember we had the yesterday the pasuk. We wanted to know, why is leather good for the shoe? Because we said it grows from an animal, not grows, it comes from an animal, and tachash is a type of animal. The pasuk says tachash and alecha has to come from an animal hide. So even though it says tachash, it tachash in the pasuk, we include even cloth, even beged, is good enough for a shoe. That's why I say, even though it's even cloth will not be good, Rashi says, if you halking beged, so beged low, we should do low mugging, because cloth, the cloth sock's not going to protect the foot. A leather sock, a leather shoe will protect the foot. About kava kiteya magin hilka kafila in a chuppa or a kasher. So the whole cloud, the yisod of Rabbi Meir is, when is there a good, what's considered a good shoe or good sock? Whenever it protects the foot. So a leather sock protects the foot. A cloth sock does not protect the foot. A kav kiteya, an extended leg, for an amputee, will also protect the foot. So Rabbi Meir is, in fact, he's the author. So yes, he holds Kaf Kiteya is considered a good extension. He also holds that Anpilio Shel Or is also a good shoe to use because it protects the foot, as opposed to the cloth Anpilio is not a good sock because it does not protect the foot. So Remeir is the author. Gemara now quotes the opinion of Amemar. Amar Amemar, Hai man de chalitz, the person who performs chalitza, Tzarech limidchase lekari. Very strange, lashon limidchase lekari. So Rashi explains that limidchase means Lidchov Ragla Bakarka, has to press into the ground with his foot. I'm not sure what stage is going on. I'm not sure if it's when he stands in the shoe or when he takes off the shoe.
Let's see.
Now I remember this from happening. Okay. I seem to recall now that I've seen this Gemara. They told the Yavam, when I saw this Yibum, the Chalitza take place, they told the Yavam to press down hard on the foot while wearing the shoe. And now the sister-in-law, the Yavama, had to lift up against the pressure of his foot, to lift up the foot to take off the shoe. Because if he wasn't really pressing down, it's possible just by lifting his foot up slightly, the shoe fell off on its own, and she didn't remove it. So she had to physically lift up this guy's foot and then pull the shoe off to ensure that she's doing the removal, not just gravity. So that's, I think, what it's referring to. Okay, so then Amar LeRavashi. Ravashi says to Amemar, Hatanya, doesn't the Braisa say Ben Omed, Ben Yoshe, Ben Muta? So doesn't say you could do any position you want. You could be sitting, you could be leaning, you could be standing. And I guess if you're sitting, sounds like maybe there's no pressure going on there. So how it seems to go against that you have to stand up to put pressure on. But leaning to the side or sitting, unlikely that there'll be pressure on the foot. So the Gemara says, no, Ema uli olam did the chayis lekrai. Each of those situations, whatever position the Yavam may be in, he has to also be pressing down on his foot. So it's very possible to sit down and press against the ground. So the Gemara says it's not a steer at all. Just make sure the foot is pressed on top of the shoe. Amemer says another halacha about this. Amar Amemer haiman dimaske al lichase dekrai lo chalitz. So what's this saying here? So someone who has, let's see. What's this case here? Person who walks in the upper part of the foot cannot perform chalitza. If he walks, you know, like a little bounce, like a little, you know, hop in the front of part of his foot as opposed to the back. Most people, you know, walk on their heels.
Sounds like from Rashi, he's like walking on the top part of his foot.
In English, his foot like got deformed in some way, or twisted it in some
upside
way.
Down. Oh, I mean, it's twisted. Oh, really? On the top of his foot, it's turned upside down. Let's
the
see, Rashi.
Walks on the back of his, on the back.
I don't know if it's 100% upside down.
That's what Rashi says. Lichta, al lichta the cry. Shiraglo hafach. It's turned inside out somehow. Vidoris bel yona shiraga. The above part, not the front of it, but the above part of the regal. Lichata lashon levachim. Palnika klomersheino doris bemakom midras raglo. Avagav de tanan minar kurva. Okay, fine. So he's actually walking. You know, I'm not sure, some people could walk on the sides of their feet, in like, not like normally, but people can accomplish walking on the side. This person's foot was so turned around, he was able to somehow. Walk on the top of it. So such a person says, "Amemar, hi man de muski al lichsa de kroy." The person who walks on the top part of his foot somehow lo chalitz, he cannot perform chalitza. So Amar le Ravashi le Amemar v'hatanya smuchas regalim. But didn't the brisa that we just brought in the beginning of the daf quote a whole list of examples that strange examples that work? And one of the things that work for chalitza is a person who's somich on his foot. So we didn't really sure what somich on regalim were, but wouldn't this be somech on regalim? Okay, it's the top part of his regal, but he's being somech on regalim. Lav de chalitz ba ihu. Isn't this this case that we're talking about? The guy who walks in the at the top of his foot. So lav de yahiv le la'acher v'chalitz. He gives it to somebody else, and he does chalitza la'acher shiraglo yishara. To the other brother, maybe. That's what he's referring to.
We read the Bach. Tiny smoke sort of line. My love, the chalitz, but yihu. So in that case, we're not talking about.
We thought this case of the guy walking on top of it, and we say no. Lo, the yav le la'acher v'chalitz. We give it to another one to do chalitza. Does that mean one of the other brothers to do chalitza?
He's saying a shliach on his behalf.
A shliach. We never saw shliachas by chalitza, did we?
We had that question in Tosos, right? Was it Tosos or something?
Mitzvah Yosef Bava Yosef and Shliach we had. We said you can't do shlichus.
So you can't. We said it doesn't work here.
Right. You thought maybe come into Svergufo, maybe just the Gzeresa Kasev.
So, yeah, I guess.
So what it says here, where the cripple gives his foot support to someone else whose foot is not deformed. And it's the other person who performs chalitza wearing the cripple's support.
Was the cripple supposed to do chalitza? I mean, who's doing the chalitza?
I assume the cripple was one who. Yeah.
Maybe he's just handing something. Maybe the other guy, and he's just, I don't have a shoe. Oh, take my support.
Okay. Oh, maybe. That's what it sounds like. Maybe you're right. So a guy who walks regularly needs a shoe, so he bought the cripple who had a deformed foot, who had a special foot shoe made for him so he could walk without putting too much pressure. He lends his interesting shoe to the guy who has a straight foot to use those types of shoes. But I think that's what it sounds like it's talking about. Okay, must be.
But then it doesn't fit. Meaning the shoe needs to fit or to hold some.
Right, so it has to. We said it has to cover at least most of it. So some, I don't know.
Cover and fit and whatever.
I'm not sure what type of how a foot looks in this way, and I'm not sure how a shoe would look in such a foot. But it has to be in a way that you're right. That has to cover most of the guy who's using it, most of his foot. I don't know how to even imagine such a foot, such a shoe.
So maybe it's not
okay. You would like yesterday's daf had an interesting case, very strange case. And the Gemara says, is ever like this, something like this ever happened? That Gemara is asking such a question? And Tosafos says, what do you mean? We have questions like this all the time, things that never ever happen, but Gemara still asks such questions. So we thought you would appreciate that. But, so yeah, I'm not sure.
That's what I'm claiming all the time.
Tosafos said, we have it all the time, don't worry about it. That's the derech of the Gemara. Okay, so that's the interesting case that we're talking about. So Amar Rav Ashi says, Lemai the Kamar Meimar, that which a Meimar said, Lav bar uva chalitz, Lav bar kifif. Chalitz. So Bar Uvo, who's a person, and Bar Kifuf is a person, neither one can perform chalitza. So let's look at Rashi. Rashi tells us, since he knows Shas quite well, he says, Bar Uva Bar La Kifa, the Gemara Il Magalchan Mori Katam, Da Chal Shel Lidate de Rashi, Visafucha Krayu. So they were causing tsaros to Rashi. So as a, we're just wondering when you'll be back.
Just got back.
Well, welcome, all right.
Come on in.
Just
landed?
Yeah.
What time?
5:30.
So again, the Gemara was explaining that in response to this, so Rashi said that these two individuals are not able to perform chalitza because, as Rashi just told us, and Gemara and Moed Katan tells us, that these people were being chalish dai to the Rashi. I don't remember the case there, but somehow they were, I'm not sure, teasing, insulting. Somehow they made Rashi upset, and as a result, they were punished, and their feet turned inside out or upside down, and they had to wear such shoes, so that's what this reference is to. Okay, two dots now. Gemara says, Minarkuva ulamata. So the Mishnah told us, this is the beginning of the first mission of the parak, I think there's only one mission we had, that depending what part of the, how far up the leg it may have been cut off, whether or not it's still good chalitza. So we said if it's a minarkuva ulamata, if it's from the knee and below, there's at least the knee is still there and hope and more, that's going to be good chalitza. But if it's cut from the knee and above, so then it will not be a good chalitza. So in light of this, the Gemara says, Urminhi raglayim prat lebalik kabin. So this is a pasuk. If you look on the side here, those who have it, I think everyone, no, except for Adam, everyone has it on the side. So the pasuk says, not to make you feel bad, Shalosh regalim tachogli bashan. He doesn't need any of the help.
Exactly.
We all need the help. He doesn't need the help.
By heart,
exactly. So Shalosh regalim tachogli bashana. So you're supposed to come. This is the end of Parshish Mishpatim. It's a random pasuk in Parshish Mishpatim and talks about Yom Tovim for some strange reason. But anyway, so it says that three regalim you have to come to celebrate with me. So Shosh Regalim, what's the Lashon Regalim? So the Gemara makes a deek, Regalim Prat Lebali Kabin. The person who has these prosthetic legs is not allowed to, or is a putter rather, from performing the Aliyah L'Regel. So how come by here, when it comes to Yavamos, Chalitza, we allow Bali Kabin, as long as they have a certain amount of their own leg, we allow it to take place, as opposed to the regalim, the regal, we never allow. No matter how much was cut off, even only a little bit was cut off, sounds like any type part of the leg was cut off, they're pater from regalim. What's the difference between chalitza and regalim? So Gemara explains, shiny hacha, it's different here when it comes to chalitza, dichsev me'al raglo. Me'al raglo comes to include not only the foot, you don't have to have every part of the foot, as long as there's some part of the foot, me'al raglo, even above part, a higher part above the foot, even if some of that's there, that's going to be good enough for performing chalitza. So Yahachi, if it says me'al raglo, above the foot's even good enough, so why stop at the knee? Yahachi, lemala me'akuva nami. So even above the knee, even if the whole knee's cut off and only the thigh is there, so maybe that should be good enough as well. Why are you drawing the line by the knee? What's the source? So Gemara says, me'al v'lo me'al m'demal. From above, but not above and above. So I'm guessing the drush is probably the bones, the different sections. There are three basic sections of the foot. There's a leg, there's a calf, and then there's a thigh. So regel is the regel. You need regalim to do ali the regel. When it comes to chalitza, you need me'al raglo. You need one step up, includes the calf. But me'al, the thigh, that doesn't work. That's not enough for chalitza. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Amar Papa Shmamina. We learn from here, Hai istavira ad ara nachis. So Rashi explains, Hai astavira, kabile hamafsekes bein shok leregel. So between the, it must be the ankle or something. What do they say in English here?
Yeah, it's this one. The
ankle? Although the calf? I thought that's between...
No, maybe not. Hold on one
second. I thought the shok...
What does it say?
I thought the shok is the calf.
There's no joint between the ankle and the bottom of the heel.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, the ankle, right. This ankle descends right to the ground. So we see from here that the ankle descends to the ground. Hai istavira ad ara nachis. So the English explains here that the ankle is fused with the heel and the arch of the foot, which bear directly on the supporting surface of the ground. Okay? So the ankle connects directly to the bottom of the foot. The arch that's below the foot, that's the little arch we step on. And then the heel, that's all connected, it sounds like. Why? Because the isak adaitach, mifsek pasik, if we view them as different parts of the body, have the ihu me'al. So then the ankle should be the step above the regel. So it must be we view the whole ankle and the foot as one unit, not as separate units. And then we allow the shok, the calf, to be included in the mitzvah of chalitza.
would have allowed it.
We would have no. We do allow the shoe. We do allow the calf.
We do allow
because we view the ankle as being connected directly as part of the foot. That's all regel. If we view the ankle as being separate, then the me'al raglo, the ankle would be the me'al raglo, and the shok would have been excluded. Mm-hmm. But we're viewing the ankle as going down to the ground as one unit, so that's all connected, and the me'al raglo is the shok, which is permitted to be used for the chalitza. So let's read that again. Again, hay estavia ara nachis, the ankle goes down to the ground. The isak daitach mifsek pasik, if you view the ankle as separate from the actual foot, Havle ihu me'al, the ankle would have been the me'al, and the shoko me'al de ma'al would have been the ma'al ma'al, which would have been excluded. So the fact that we include the shok tells us that the shok is me'al raglo, and the ankle is part of the regel. So Amar Vashi, afilu tema mifsek pasik, kol debahadei kara kakari dami. Even if you view the ankle as being a separate part, I don't know any of the bones, the ankle is certainly a separate bone.
How do they translate shok? Shok?
Yeah.
Shok is the thigh.
I thought the calf.
No, but I don't. What name do they have?
They say here.
It says the leg. The shoka says.
It's the foreleg, meaning the bottom part, right?
Which would be the calf. I think the calf is a muscle.
The
but
calf is this part, the muscle.
Right.
But I think they're talking about the front bone or whatever.
Yeah, that's called a fibula. Right? Fibula? Anyone know? Shin? The shin?
How they call it there.
They call it a shin. I know, like
right.
in soccer,
right.
They kick the shin, right? Okay. Yeah, the shin, but it's fibula. So I think is the technical term. Anyone? No doctors in here.
No.
Okay. Okay. So even if you view the ankle as being separate, I see. I insulted him about the pesukim. Now he's leaving. even if you view the ankle as being separate, we could still view the ankle as part of the foot because kol debahadi kara kikari dami. Anything that is on the same plane, the same level as the foot, is considered part of the foot. We're not concerned biologically, medically, whether we view the ankle as a part of the bone as a foot or not part of the bone. But if it's on the same plane, which the ankle is on the same plane as the foot, that's considered one unit, and the me'araglo memela becomes the shin. Okay. Gemara now, the two dots says, Minarkuva Lamala. If from the knee and above was cut off, then it's not a good chalitza. So Mesa Rav Kana asks the following question, Ubishil Yasa Hayotes Mibain Ragleha. So there's a pasuk at the end of, there must be a Kisavo, it sounds like the Tocha here. So if this, well, Yedvam Kachav, it looks like Kisavo. So Ubishil Yasa Hayotes Mibain Ragleha. So if the afterbirth, which I think is the placenta. So if the placenta, when it comes out from the woman, so Amar Bai Bisha Shekara, this is the answer already. So what's the question here? So here we see the word ragle, mibein ragle refers to much higher up than the ma'al raglo, than the foot and then the shin. Mibein ragle sounds much higher up in the body. So Amar Bai Bisha Shekaras Leled Noetes Akveh Birachase Violedes. Refers to when the woman's in the position of giving birth, so then the heels of her leg are bent in such a way where it's touching the thigh. Not to say that above the thigh is considered the regel, we're just talking about the position a woman is in the birthing position. But there's no diuk in the definition of regel being higher up than the shin. Tashma, another proof about the definition of a regel. Lo asa raglo, lo asa svamo. So what's this pasuk referring to here? There's a pasuk in Shmuel Beis. So the pasuk says, Mephibosheth, the son of Shaul, went to go greet the king. V'lo asa raglo, v'lo asa sefamo, v'es begad of lo chibes. So it's he didn't.
After David HaMelech was dethroned, and then he came back. So Mephibosheth wanted to show him that he was very sad about the whole situation.
Uh-huh. So he didn't fix his mustache,
right,
and didn't clean his clothing. He went very in a disgusting way, not a way to present oneself in front of the king. So what does it mean, lo asa raglov? So lo asa raglov, what do they explain here?
He didn't shave his legs.
Okay, so raglaim, okay.
Okay,
so the Gemara says, lishem alya. They wanted to use a more appropriate language, a euphemism. They took him like to speak in an appropriate language. They wanted to use what it really meant. Raglaim is just a way of covering up, but don't take it literally to mean that raglaim means something higher than the body, than the actual foot. Tashma, another proof. So he went to Lasech Res Raglav. It's always a lashon of going to the bathroom. So there, Raglav does not refer to the regel, not to the foot. Lishamalia there too. Also, they're using an appropriate language to describe going to the bathroom. Tashma, another pasuk, Ach Mesech Hu Raglav Becheda Mekira. Another pasuk that used the word Raglav in reference to going to the bathroom. Lishamalia Bein Raglav Lishamalia. So all these things are just. You can't bring proofs. It's just lishna maya, the appropriate languages that the Torah wanted to use in order to avoid improper language. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Sheva Bilos Bal Osa Rasha Bosayam. There are seven Bilos that particular. Did I skip one? Yeah.
Ben Ragbea Karate.
Ben, let's see. Ben Raglev Chule, lishna maya. Yeah? Ben Raglev Chule? Okay. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan says now, Sheva Bilos Bal Osa Rasha Bosayam. There are seven bilos that Russia had performed on that day. Shenemar bein ragle kara nafal shachav bein ragle. So let's see what's referring to. Who's the Osa Russia that we refer to?
Sisera.
Okay. So how do we know this? Because pasuk says bein ragle kara nafal shachav bein ragle kara nafal basher kara sham nafal shadud. So I guess we are all the different drushes here. It says shachav bein ragle kara. Well, if you do all the math, it ends up being a total of seven bilos on that very day.
Who's
Yael? Sorry, who's who?
Yael.
Yael was a Jewish, I'm not sure who, she was a Jewish woman, who was Mizana with Sisera in order to get him weak and end up killing him.
Oh, so she did good.
Yeah, she did good. So that's,
She's a hero.
Yeah.
She's like a
tzaddik. She did what Yehudis had done by the Chashmonaim also. Exactly. A similar thing. She did this, you know, years earlier. So the Gemara asks the question, wait a second. How is she able to do this? She get hana. This is an iser of znus. How is this permitted for her? Samar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai, Kol Tovasan Sherashon. Very important line. Ra he eats al tzaddikim. Anything that's good for tzaddikim ends up being ra for. So anything good for Rasham rather ends up being ra for tzaddikim. Ends up being bad. So Rashi explains top line. Ra he shesonim harisham. Vikotza nefesh tzaddik banasan hilchach lav hanah. It's disgusting for her. The whole she did this really mamish mesiras nefesh. She was disgusted by the whole process of this, but she did this for the sake of saving Klal Yisrael. So it wasn't considered hanah. And this is a gemara that the Tosos brings in many places. It talks about yarg vayavor. So how could a person has to kill themselves better, rather than to perform averos and arayos? You have to give your own life. So how could Yael perform arayos here, even though it saved Jews, but you have to kill yourself before engaging in such yisurim? So they point to this issue. So they end up saying, I think they quote the Gemara here that says it wasn't hanafer.
Why is this
arayos? Here it says that.
It's a good question. Right. So it's good. So what's the arayos? It's just nus.
Yeah.
Right. It's a good question. I don't remember. The Tosa must bring it up here. I didn't look at Tosa.
No, but she
here.
Was married. It's
Gilei Arayos. No, but it ends up being machlokas. There's a Gemara in Ksubis. We'll see. Hopefully, soon enough, we'll get to Ksubis, the beginning. That whether Eish Ish, who's with a guy, will that B.S. Akum answer her to her husband or not? Is B.S. Goy considered like B.S. Behemoth, says us, or not? So that's this in that discussion of B.S. Akum, they discuss Yael and Sisera, whether it's one of the Arayos or not. Very good. I'm looking if Tosus addresses the question here. No, Tosus does not deal with it. But Tosus and Sanhedrin and elsewhere does talk about this. I don't have my sister today to look further, but here we go. The bottom talks about this. Not really. Okay, that's what to talk about. So anyway, so the reason why she was permitted to engage in these bilos was because it was ra for her. Anything that's good for Hashem ends up being bad for tzaddikim. She did not have enough from this. Shenemar, the pasuk tells us, "He shamer lecha pentidaber im Yaakov mitovad ra." This is talking about. Lavan, when Lavan was chasing after Yaakov. Now, it's a great trivia question. How many different dreams are mentioned in the Chumash? So one of the dreams people forget when they calculate, Yosef had two dreams, and Paro had two dreams, and Star Mashkim. One of the people forget is Lavan had a dream. When he was chasing Yaakov, he had a dream. Kadosh Baruch Hu, or somehow something appeared to him and said, don't touch Yaakov. Whether it be good or whether it be bad, don't touch him.
Is that considered or a Mare Laila?
I think the pasuk says Lashon of Chalom. I think so. Yeah, if the pasuk decides, it says Vayevo Kim es El Lavan Harami Bachalom Halayla. So he saw a dream. This is why I think there are a total of 10 of them or so. So what's the understanding? What did Hashem say to Lavan?
Like of the Moshe, opening, the rest is a dream, no?
Yeah. Oh, well, it depends how you understand things. It only mentions dreams. 10 times it mentions dreams. The Rambam understands all the nevuos of the other ones as being dreams, but it doesn't mention dreams in the Torah necessarily. That's the Rambam's understanding of it. Yeah, exactly. Aspaklari, yeah. Right. So, right, that's in the world of the Sviros. All the other ones looked in only through, I forget which level, but Moshe got through Teferis. Teferis was the Panim El Panim. Everyone else had a lower level, Nevuah and I guess Yesod or Teferis, or Netzach, I forget which one. Maybe Netzach, I think it was. Or Hod. Okay. So anyway, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu warns Lavan, don't touch him, whether it be good or whether it be bad. What does it mean, good or bad? Bishma Ra, Lachai, I understand not to do anything bad to him. El Tov, Amai Lo, why not do something good? Give him, do something good for him. Send him off a lot of money or give him a bracha. Why is good? Why shouldn't do anything good to him? So Ela Shmamina, B'tovasam Shavasham, Ra Hu Eitzel Tzadikim. Even good that you think is good, Lavan, is actually going to be bad. So anything you're going to do to him will automatically be bad. Don't touch him. Don't say a thing to him. Stay far away. So Bishma Hasim over there, I understand. Dilma Mitchale Shma Devodes Chachavim. So I understand over there why Lavan was warned not to say anything, because if Lavan, he could mention shame of Avodah Zarah, and that could be very detrimental. That has, whatever that means, there's certain kochos, and Rashi explains, Shema Shema Devodes Chachavim, Rashi explains, Lama Ganafta Es Elohai, why'd you steal my gods, my idols, the trophim they call it. By the way, Arizal says the trophim that were stolen, everything in Kedusha, he would have liked this actually, everything in Kedusha has a parallel in Tumah. So the Urim Ritumim's parallel in Tumah was the trophim. Urim Ritumim that the Kohen Gadol had told us the future and explained things, the trophim had the same abilities but drawing from the Koach HaTumah. So these trophim were very, very powerful, and that's Rachel stole this from Lavan. So I understand why Lavan was warned not to do anything bad, because he could have tapped into this kohos of Tumah. Ella, says the Gemara, hacha my ra ika. So what's a ra when it comes to Yael and Sisera? What's the ra? So Gemara explains that Dilma sa ika dekashadia bei zuhuma. Because by engaging in relations with Sisera, it's going to infuse some type of zuma, some type of disgust. How do they translate zuhuma here? Impurity. Okay. Tuma. Some type of tumah, right? Damar b'yochanan b'shasha b'nachash achava hito b'zuma. People don't know. People always think that nachash was only just enticed her to eat from the fruit. But in fact, the Chazal tells here in the Gemara that the nachash is b'nachava. And when that happened, he infused in her some level of impurities and tumah. See, Yisrael sh'amdu ha'har Sinai paska zumasan. So Yisrael who sat at went to Har Sinai, they were freed. They were purified from the zuma. So, Ov Dechavim, however, Shelo Amdu Bahar Sinai Lo Paskut Tumasan. They still have that impurities within them, so engaging in relationships will infuse that tuma within them. And that was the Ra'a Eitzel Yael. Okay, I thought the Gemara says in Shabbos that once when we did the Chet HaEgel, though, then we got the Zuma of the Nachash back within us. And that's what all the Sfarim write. That's what we're trying to fight against. We have the Nachash still within us. We're trying to remove that from us. But I guess the point is we have a less level of Zuma than that of Ovdei Chachavim. Gemara now quotes Chaltza b'minal she'eino shalom. Let's say you borrow someone else's shoe. The whole Mishnah had a whole list of different types of examples that will be effective for Chalitza has to at least cover rove of the regel. So Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanan, Nalo, Ainli Ela Nalo, the Pasuk says, Nalo, you have to own it. Nal shel kol adam minayin. How do I know I could use my friend's shoe? Tamalomer, nal mikomakom. It says nal 2 times in the pasuk to include anybody's, not necessarily your own, but even someone else's works. Imkain ma tamalomer nalo. So why does the pasuk at all say nalo to exclude something? Why his? It shouldn't say nalo. Just say naal. So nalo haroi lo prat legadol shein yachol halachbo uprat lekatan shein yachofa rov raglam. Has to be his, meaning has to fit his foot. Not that he has to own it. Not byless, but it has to fit him. If it's too big where he can't walk with it, it keeps falling. His foot comes up and the shoe stays below. That's not going to fit him.
That's the limit from the Mishnah that says that it has to be big enough that he can walk and small enough that it covers most of the
exactly. Nalo means a roi lo, fit for him, not necessarily owned by him. And it can't be too small where it doesn't cover rove of his rego. Uprat l'sandal ha-mesulayim shein lo akev. And also excluding a sandal, what's Hasanah Mesulayim? Says Rashi. Rashi doesn't say anything here. Oh, yeah, Rashi all the way on top says, 3 lines from the top. Prat l'sandal ha-mesulayim ha-nifchas, that gets ripped. Shein lo akib, has no heel. Solo, really a sole. Lishna Achrina Al Shem Mukomo Nikra Musulaim Lashem, where it came from. So if it lacks a soul, I'm not sure exactly what it is, if it's no soul, but such a shoe doesn't work either. Okay. So that's what we learn for the word Nalo. Abai Havakoi Kamid of Yosef. Once Abai was standing in front of Yosef, Asai Yivama Lachot. The woman came along to perform the mitzvah of Chalitza. Amalei Havli Sandalacha. So give me your sandal. He said to him, the Yavam, give me your sandal. Yavlei Sandala de Smola. He gives the left foot for some reason. Amalei Amar Damar Rabbanan Diyavad Lechachila Miyamar. Bidyavad, the Mishnah says you could use a left foot and the right foot, but Lechachila, we don't allow that. Amalei Ihachi Sandal Shein Shalo. Nami Amar Damar Rabbanan Diyavad Lechachila Miyamar. So I would say the same thing. A sandal that you don't own, maybe that's only Bidyavad it works, but Lechachila, you shouldn't allow it to use someone else's shoe either. So Amalei Hachi Kamino Lechachila. That's why I said to you, Havlei Vaakne Le. Oh, so so whose shoe did he ask for then?
He asked the shoe from
Abai.
From Abai.
Oh, Abai, give your shoe.
So Abai figured, listen, you're asking me, you're not supposed to have lechatzkila, you're not supposed to borrow. Once I'm borrowing, let me just show him that it's, it's also.
So he said, no, you can say, give it to him and he'll own it and have ownership for it. So that's what happened. I keep referring back to this chalitza that I saw. So that's what happened. There's a special chalitza shul, a chalitza shul. It's actually interesting. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that a basin has to have all the different equipment needed. They have to have a whip. They have to have a stick. All the different implements or toys. Right. It's brought down. Now, it's actually interesting. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention the first simon of Hilchos Dayanim. All of Choshe Mishpat, the first simon is Hilchos Dayanim. It doesn't mention this. The Sma, one of the notes that came on the side, says that Shulchan Aruch forgot to mention that the Dayanim have to have the stick and the whip and whatever else they need. I'm not sure why he forgot it, but they certainly should have even nowadays, I think he says. So there's a discussion whether the chalitza shoe is also one of the things that they have to have in their repertoire of things, in their like little casing. They have to have like a shoe on and showcased. So that's a machlokas. So either way, no one has a chalitza shoe. So they have a special chalitza shoe that is based and owned. So they had to give it to the Yavam to acquire it. They had to pick it up to acquire it. And now it's his to use because you have to use not low. You have to use your own shoe. This interesting leather shoe with straps I keep mentioning that goes all the way up. So either way, the halacha is that they have to own it. So Rav Yosef said to Abai, give your shoe to him and then he'll own it now. Now the Gemara says, quotes from the Mishnah, sandal shel eitz. So we said a sandal shel eitz, a wooden, like a clog. What was the halacha with that? We said that was good or not good. It was a good chalitza. Okay. So Mantana, who holds this way? Amar Shmuel, Rabbi Meir, he detanan. The Mishnah tells us in Shabbos, Hakiteya yotze bekav shalo, divrei Rabbi Meir. Meir taught us that if a person has a prosthetic leg, he may go outside on Shabbos, even though there's no Eruv, because it's considered an extension of his body as opposed to carrying. Rabbi Yossi Omer also, he forbade this. So just like a wooden foot is going to be good enough, so to a wooden shoe will qualify as well. Rabbi Meir authored this Mishnah. Avud Shmuel, the father of Shmuel, Omer, b'mechufa or b'divrei kol. Nope, has to be where it's covered in leather, and then everybody's going to agree, because leather, some require leather, some require protection. So Rabbi Meir requires protection, and wood provides protection. Others require dafka or, because the Pasuk says, tachash analecha, dafka sign that grows from an animal, so that would only be or, and everybody would be the author of this Mishnah. So Amar Rav Papi, Mishmei Dirava, Sandal Hamuskar Lo Tachos Bo. Interesting. This is talking about Tumas Tsaras now. So let's say there's a strange.
I never heard of this. There's only Tsaras Abayis.
No, we have Begadim. We have Begadim also.
Oh, sure. Tsaras Begadim also.
Yeah,
right.
There's a person, Begadim, and there's Batim. Right. So let's say person's sandal has Tumas Tsaras Muskar. Which is Rashi says in Sandal Muskar Sheparcha Batzras.
We don't know yet for sure.
Right, exactly. It's spread, or maybe much of it disappeared or spread. I'm not sure which one this is. Lo Sachlos Bo Bimei Haskero De Lo Lisi Lemeved B'Muchla. Because
I think this is the first case. This is the case where the Kohen sees it and he's waiting to see if it will spread or not.
They're waiting like a week period to see if anything changed or not.
Right.
If it dimmed or got bigger. So it's in the waiting period right now. So you're not allowed to use this because there's a possibility it became tamer. Now, it sounds like from Rashi, actually, midrash, it works, but you might, if you allow a muskar sandal to work, you might also permit a mukhla one, which is vade no good.
Right.
So a muskar one doesn't work, Vimchalta chalitza sakshir. But if you do it, it's okay because really it's not really taras if it's only muskar. But sanda muchla, where it's already been decided by the kohen that this has taras on this, then lo sachlos bo vimchalta chalitza sapsula. Even if you try to do chalitza with such a shoe, it wouldn't be effective. It's possible if it has taras. Exactly, that's what Rashi said. You look at Rashi, muchla chalitza sapsula de lisrei fakai. It has to be burnt now. Vadan shir ba'inan chofes rov raglu. You have to have it to be able to cover the most of the foot. This, since it's going to be subject to be burned, we don't acknowledge it as having any shear. So then the Gemara says, Rav Papa Mishmei de Rav Amar Echad Sandal Hamuska Echad Sandal Muchla Lo Sachlet Zbov Im Chalitza Klisak Shera. He argues, whether it be a Muskar Tzaras or a Muchla Tzaras, it's going to work b'di'evet. It will be effective. Why? So Rashi doesn't explain this, but let's see what the Gemara asks. So Gemara says that Meisivei Beis Hamuskar Mitame Mitocho So let's say there's a house that has muskar. House that has muskar, inside is tameh, but outside the house will not be tameh. But mukhlat, even outside, is going to be tameh. But either way, if you enter into either of these houses, whether it be muskar, whether it be mukhlat, a person will become tameh himself. Now, if you view a mukhlat as being burnt, as if it's not even there, even though it actually is there, but since it's supposed to be burnt, it's not there anymore. So if I enter into a house that's mukhlat, shouldn't I say it has no shear? Because since I've got to burn the bais of mukhlat, it's mechtas shira. And when I walk inside, it's as if I'm walking into air, because we don't view the house as being there, even though physically it's there. Same, just like the shoe, we said, even though the shoe's actually there, since we're supposed to burn it, we view it as not being there. So I never walked into a house. I shouldn't become tameh. So Gemara says, shiny hasam, it's different there by the case of the bais. Damar kra, v'nasas es habais. Afilu b'shas nisitza kar bias. That you're supposed to nasis as a bias. Why are we calling it a bias? If you have to destroy, nasis is to destroy and break down. If I need to destroy it, just say nasis oso. What's nasis as a baso? That even after it's been already been proclaimed destruction with the big sign on it, still we call it a bias. So when it comes to the house, even though it's destined to be destroyed, it's called a bias. As opposed to the case of the sandal, and tumas on a begadim, if it's supposed to be burned, we view it as not being a shoe anymore.
The house, in most cases, you're allowed to replace certain areas, right?
Yeah,
after a certain shoe, you have to destroy the whole thing. Is that what it is?
I guess so. Welcome back, Rip. Okay, so there's a distinction between the bais that has tzaras on it versus a sandal that has tzaras on it, or a beggar that has tzaras on it. A bais that has tzaras on it, that's mukhlad, is not viewed as a bias. It's like is viewed as a bias, but a beggar that has saras on it is not viewed as a beggar anymore. So Toshma, the Gemara brings a brisa now. Matlis sheish bo shalosh al shalosh, afa pish ein bo kizayis, kevish nichnas ruba lebais tar to measo. How are we doing with time? We still have a few minutes. Okay. So if you have a piece of cloth that has 3x3, which is the small shear that we could still acknowledge this as being a rag that has some type of use on it. So if it's less than that, it cannot be mekabel tum anymore. So it has the right amount of shear. It's at least 3x3. Even though it's not a kezias. So why are you speaking about a kezias now? So Rashi says, Shembo kezias shechuta dak, very thin piece of string, a thin strand.
Because that's if you use a very, very thin thread, mm-hmm. Yarn, then even if you do a 3x3 and you smash it, it doesn't turn out to be a kezias.
Aha. So even though there's no kezias, if you combine everything together, it doesn't have, even the thickness is not a kezias, the volume is not a kezias.
You smash it and hold it up. Right. Doesn't turn a kezias because you use an extremely thin yarn.
Right. It's like silk, let's say. Silk, if you ball, it's so thin, let's say if you make it into a ball, it probably won't be the kezias.
Or a very thin, let's say, shirting cotton.
Uh-huh. Okay, so if you use it so small, even though it has the proper surface area, the area is enough, 3x3, but the volume will not amount to a kezias. So, kemishin nichnas ruba lebayis tar, since the majority of this cloth will enter into the house, into a tar house, tumaso, it makes the house tame. So, sorry, if this itself is, sorry, if this beged has tzaras on it, which enters into a bayis that's tame, it will be tame the house. Right. Now, my lab mukhlates, are we not referring to mukhlates? And shouldn't we view now, since this is a beggar that has taras, it's supposed to be burned. And if it's supposed to be burned, we cannot view it as having the proper shear. And if it doesn't have the proper shear, then it shouldn't be metami the house.
What does it mean? Et miuta acharuba, kula.
Which line are you?
No, I'm not here in the Hebrew.
That must be the Rashi, though.
Because Rubal Abayit. Because, okay.
Yeah, once most of it gets inside the house.
He didn't bring the whole thing inside. Okay.
Gemara says, "Love, not true. Muskaris, we're referring to muskaris, where it's not a, it doesn't have to be burnt yet. It's just muskaris. It's in that waiting period to find out. But once it's muskaris, it's not supposed to be burned necessarily. So it still has a shear and can be metami the house if it's brought inside the house. Ihalchi, that's the case. Aim a seifa, look to the brice, at the end of the seifa, this end of the brice, rather. Hayuba kama zesim, if there are many kazesim, the volume is there. Kem shenichnas mimeno kazayis, the bias, bias tahor.
Even though not the majority of the baguette went in.
Right, you have a huge carpet, and you just a kazayas corner stuck in, that's going to be metamei. Now, iamers bishma muchletes, hainu diskesh lemes. So if you understand that we're referring to a muchletes, it makes sense because you connect this to tumas meis. Because tumas meis is the source of a kazayas. Kazayas is the shear by tumas meis. I guess that's going to be the source of, I don't know, Rashi doesn't really tell us here, but it must be that Tumas tsaras muchletes must be connected to tumas meis. But ella, if you're going to say ella iamis muskeres, a mai iskash lemeis.
Right, so here's a muchletet who kash lemet hametame bekazait. Madur shamed klomar madua hi metame bekazait af im lo nichnas ruva halo musgar lo hu kash lemet.
Right, huskar is not connected to meis. Therefore, we never have a shear of kazayis by tsaras muskeres, only by tsaras muchletes, which is already connected to tumas meis, only has a kazayis. So if we're talking about muskeres, the kazayis isn't a relevant shear. So it must be that we're referring to a muchletes. And yet we still say in the first case that muchletes, if it enters into the bias, it's going to be metame the house. But why? Didn't we say muchletes has no shear? So Gemara says, shiny halson damakrav is saraf es a beged. No, it's different by tsaras, because even though we're supposed to burn it, it's called a beged. Shreifa is beged. It's still called a beged, even though it's omer to the shreifa, it's still called a beged. Well, if that's the case, so why, by the case of sandal, do we say you can't use a sandal of mukhlat sandal? Didn't we say, since it's going to be burned, it's as if there's no shear, it's not a beged anymore? But clearly here, we view it as being a beged, even when it's mukhlatis. Ligmar Rinei learned from there that also by the sandal, it should be a good sandal for chalitza. Gemara says, Isser Tumah Mituma Loma Gamrinam. We have a klal. You cannot learn Isser. Chalitza is Isser Veheter. You cannot learn that from Tumah. Should we go maybe one more line? Let's see. We can go to the Mishnah if we can. We have 3 minutes. So you think we should go for it?
Okay.
We're being too ambitious. I'm a Rava. Hilchasa Echad Sandal. Muska Echad Sandal. Shemuchlat Echad Sandal. Shavodish Chachavim.
You know what? You're coming tomorrow?
Yeah. So we'll pick up. Okay, so stop here.
No. What's the point?